Following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you could join us once again, and I would like to remind you that just because we may discuss some tax strategies or tax rules, tax laws, regulations, etc., or real estate, private partnership, syndication opportunities, you should never rush off and try these on your own. You should always consult with your existing professional advisors that are fully aware of your unique facts and circumstances. And if you don't have such advisors, you're welcome to go to our website at beaplanner.com or beaplannershow.com. And we've got links that will take you to the client intake forms that we utilize to determine if we can sync up with your goals and objectives in the areas of real estate taxation, retirement plan taxation, and the use of those funds to invest in real estate, deferring significant tax that might be due, and lastly, we discuss strategies for zero tax math status. I guess zero tax rate would be more technically correct as you get into retirement. And for those of you that think that's hokey or it's not possible, it might not be. If you've got a nice fat pension coming in each month, well, then you likely won't be able to achieve zero, no matter how else you can structure your income streams into non-taxable cash flow. But you can get lower than you're going to get otherwise. If it's only a pension, well, then that's not necessarily a bad thing. Until your tax rate hits 100%, I'd say you're getting to keep at least some of it. But anyway, we hope that won't happen anytime soon, and it doesn't look like it will. On the other hand, the tax train is barreling down the track, and I don't see where Mr. Trump's tax plans, you know, they're multifaceted at the moment, are going to help reduce the deficit. By the way, neither candidate in the past election would have reduced the deficit, unfortunately. And it's a significant issue that we're going to have to deal with. I mean, bottom line is, it's really not Democrat, it's not Republican, it's math, simply math. And regardless of what you think politically, now it is going to take a political bipartisan, I would suggest, approach to changing some of our systemic policies that are just already out there. They're baked in to the go forward in terms of math. And when you look at all the indexing that takes place on assorted areas of our fiscal budget, the part that we actually argue about every year, what we call the discretionary portion of the budget is shrinking every year. And in the next 4 to 5 years, depending on your assumption set, what kind of interest rates we'll be borrowing at to afford, quote unquote, the approximate $2.1 trillion annual deficit. $2.1 trillion annual deficit. That's the amount that the Congressional Budget Office has estimated over the next 10 years. And the only reason they stop at 10 is because it's a 10-year plan that they project. They update it every year, sometimes multiple times within the year. And at the moment, they say that through the fiscal year 2034, that we will have annual deficits of roughly $2.1 trillion. That's how they get to a $55 trillion cumulative deficit at that time. And that's, I guess that's an optimistic approach. I think it's going to be much worse. A lot of people that I follow say that those plans don't consider the fact that we may not be able to sell treasury bills or treasury bonds for the same rates we're able to now once we run out of the discretionary portion of the budget here in 4 to 5 years. Because if you're buying treasury bonds and we no longer have the ability to pay 100% of the debt service on said bonds, you're probably not going to be willing to invest in them or buy them for the same interest rate. And you, like millions of other investors, will start demanding more if you buy them at all. And so our ability to continue to outspend our tax collections is going to be challenged. And it could create, On the worst side of that argument, it could create a depression, the likes of which our country's never seen in the world, for that matter, because the world is effectively connected at the hip with the U.S. But for those of you that are new to this discussion, we discuss this topic a lot on this program. The U.S. collects approximately, we're rounding, and when we talk about trillions of dollars, what's a few hundred billion if we're off, right? But the annual tax collections or tax receipts, let's call it, is roughly $5 trillion. The annual outgo or expenditures are roughly $7 trillion. Give or take. So therein lies the $2 trillion difference. And for those of you that have heard Elon Musk opine on this topic, he thinks that he can cut $2 trillion in annual spending. I presume it's part of the Dodge or Department of Government Efficiency that he and Vivek are going to attack, and more power to them. We sure hope they can. I don't have any doubt they can if they can dodge the tremendous, quote, deep state hurdles that'll be put in the way of them. And there's no question there's at least that much inefficiency in terms of the way the government spends money. I heard another mentioned the other day when they were talking about, you know, how they think it'll be easier than people think to ferret out the $90,000 bag of bolts and things like that that our military procures because we're being taken advantage of. I mean, there's no other explanation. It's common sense that we're overpaying massively for many things that the government buys. And then when you look at assorted other issues, procurement-wise, I don't think there's any question there's that much waste and inefficiency. The question is, can they uncover it fast enough to make changes that might elongate that potential depression that we're going to run into when we can no longer sell treasury bonds or treasury bills to fund our deficits as easily as we once did. But anyway, as we always say, what does this matter to you? You know, how can you affect your domain? Because you're not going to affect the government. That's for certain. You won't have an opportunity other than what you've just done, which you've voted, presumably. Hopefully you like the outcome. I think economically it would have been much worse had Mr. Trump not been successful. And hopefully the assumptions that are baked in to the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, again, study, don't consider someone like Mr. Trump's business acumen and the ability to lead having an enormous effect on growth. If we could double or triple our GDP, we would have no problems with the deficit, assuming the excess tax receipts were actually used to fund or pay down the deficit. And that's the problem. Congress, whether you're talking Democrat or Republican, Congress has a way of outspending even the enhanced collections when we change tax rules and change tax laws to the point that you turn around later and wonder, well, what happened to all the extra tax dollars we collected and where'd they go? You know, and the reality is they go into more congressional spending, pet projects, and pork. And again, it's problematic on all fronts. But anyway, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we will circle back with you here momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Yeah. Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make demands. Look like a woman, think like a man, be as good as or better than. Gotta woman up and take it like a man.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and I wanted to continue the discussion about the budget deficit and what is anticipated with regard to the big, I guess, the boogeyman in the room, inflation. And I know the Fed thinks they've cured inflation, but there's others that don't necessarily agree. There's some pretty smart people. Larry Summers, I guess he's still the chancellor of Harvard, or he has been in the past. He was also the secretary of the Treasury under, I believe, Obama, or maybe it was I think it was Obama. But in any event, he is considered the heavyweight of, or a heavyweight of the economist crowd that likes to opine about such matters. But in any event, he's warned, continuing to warn about the potential for an upswing of inflation, even as it's been dropping. And he says, quote, this is an article, by the way, that came out yesterday, quote, my own judgment is that the Fed and markets are still underestimating the overheating risk, Summers said at an appearance at the New York Economic Club, according to CNN. I asked myself, why is cutting rates a priority in that environment? And Summers pointed to the difference between headline inflation. You may have heard some of these terms in the news, but headline inflation is the overall number, and core inflation, that's C-O-R-E, core inflation, which excludes the often volatile food and energy categories. Core inflation has been significantly higher. The CPI saw the October headline number increase to 2.6% year over year from September's 2.4. October's core inflation was 3.3%. Or look at the personal consumption expenditures, the PCE is the acronym, the Federal Reserve's preferred measure. The latest numbers came from September. Headline year-over-year inflation was 2.1% with core at 2.7. Still, the Fed cut 25 basis points from the federal funds rate in November after the 50 basis point cut in September. Summers wonders if the central bank will repeat 2021's huge error of allowing inflation to race upwards while calling it transitory and waiting for it to naturally abate. You know, seeing what's going on right now with some of President-elect Trump's cabinet picks, you know, there's some criticism, obviously, of several of the current names that have been either offered or on their way to being offered, and people are acting like, well, you know, these people don't have the experience, or they don't have the backgrounds that are needed to run the government. I'm going to argue the biggest qualification should be they don't have anything to do with the current government. How the current government blunders, how's that working out for having the, quote, professionals run things like the defense mechanism, the Pentagon? You know, we've done some really, really stupid stuff lately, as I see it. And I don't know, maybe you disagree. Maybe you like having all of the hot spots around the world that are ready to tip over into a world war. But I think it's crazy the way that we get into battles, either with our surrogates or ourselves, where we tie hands behind our backs, not the opposition. And, you know, we walk away from, I don't know, $80 to $100 billion worth of equipment in Afghanistan. We throttle Ukraine, we throttle Israel instead of letting them take care of business. And I don't know. I don't see how the quote amateurs could do any worse than what's going on with the professionals. And by the way, I don't think there's a single department in government or agency that literally doesn't already run itself. I mean, I think the biggest challenge is going to be figuring out how to tweak the direction that a certain department is moving. It's kind of like trying to turn a 1,000-foot frigate around, or maybe that's not the right word, but a large ship. You don't do that. I mean, let's just say it's hard to do that in 4 years. You know, you might tweak it a bit, but bottom line is I seriously think the Fed Reserve's past performance here the last 4 years leaves a lot to be desired. And I think, and I've heard others say, if they had just slept during the entire 4 year period, they probably couldn't have done any worse. A monkey couldn't have done any worse, given what's occurred. Anyway, Summers goes on to say that he's fearful that the Fed is going to be more like, quote, once burned, twice burned, rather than once burned, twice shy when it comes to inflationary risk. And further, in addition to core inflation, he points to high economic growth and financial markets that are on fire, to use his words. Economic growth in 2023, expressed by the St. Louis Federal Reserve's FRED data repository, as well as year-over-year change in GDP, taking inflation into account, was just under 2.9%. That is roughly in keeping with more stable periods of growth and well under spikes of growth going back, if you look at this historically, to 1948. In 2024, according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis, the first quarter saw real annualized GDP growth of 1.6%. In Q2, it was 3%, and 2.8% in Q3. That, as they point out, that doesn't seem all that high now, does it? As for fiery financial markets, the S&P 500 has been on a sharp growth stretch, measured as a percentage change year over year since the beginning of 2023. Add the movement of the 10-year Treasury growing from 3.62% on September 16th, 2024, and closing at 4.44% on just earlier this week, Wednesday, November 13th. So, you know, does it seem that we need another strong rate cut this quick? I mean, that's essentially what the question is. And looking at hedge advisory firm Derivative Logic's forward projection of yields based on standard mathematical formulas, This is a level that shouldn't be seen until May of 2026. So, you know, there's something amiss with the thought process that we need more rate cuts quickly. But again, it wouldn't be the first time the Fed's missed the boat. Derivative Logic's managing director has told Globe Street, that's where this article appeared, since September that markets are showing high volatility. The 10-year, and she's referring to the 10-year treasury, shouldn't be this volatile. That's a reflection of the instability, not just in the U.S. and world economy, but all the outlying factors. I think we'll have a lot of outlier events that'll come out of the woodwork as we move forward. The consequences of Donald Trump winning the election is one of those factors. His plan for tax cuts could have big effects on the economy, according to the CRFB. That's the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, a bipartisan group. But, you know, they've analyzed Trump's plans, and they say that the range of possible increase in national debt, and it's a big one, folks, it could range from $1.65 trillion expansion up to as much as $15.55 trillion, with a central estimate, I guess a median estimate, of $7.75 trillion. The high tariffs he's called for would be an effective tax on imports paid by recipients and then passed on to business and consumer customers, driving prices up and potentially increasing inflation. And so, you know, they've basically fallen for the same thing that much of our friends on the left have. I would tell you they're forgetting something. And the something they're forgetting is Trump's been there before. Just the mention of higher tariffs has brought other countries to heel, if I can borrow a canine training term. And do we really think that we're going to increase tariffs in such an across-the-board fashion where it would actually effectively pass on a tax to consumers? I don't think so. Again, I'm just understanding what happened in his prior presidency, where just the threat was all it took to get beneficial treatment for the U.S. So I'm going to, and I don't know, I've been watching some of the CRFB's reporting as of late with the election, et cetera. And I get a sense that they're really just trying to ignore the past. And I would tell you that, yes, I understand that if we do less targeted tariffs, meaning we do something that's across the board, that could raise and probably would raise inflation. But I don't think that's what's going to happen. But in any event, the point of this article, and the reason I wanted to talk about it, is don't get too comfortable. The future, inflation, interest rates, growth, and commerce are most assuredly cloudy. And we're sitting in a precarious position in that, you know, the monthly inflation report that we get, it still refers to the part of inflation that's current year pricing. It doesn't, we're not even close to reducing the 20 to 25% run up in pricing or inflation back before the current period. So, you know, that's why I think that's probably one of the biggest reasons why Trump was elected, is because people that go to the grocery store every day, not the Joe Scarboroughs of the world. He was shocked to learn the other day that butter wasn't the $3 price point that he was remembering, but it was actually twice that number. And it's like, you know, some people live in a bubble. You know, I think that's the gist of what that shows us. But anyway, let's see. I wanted to discuss a couple of other articles here. Let's see. I have one on cap rates that I thought. Oh, yeah, here we go. Multifamily cap rates rebound. And let's make sure they're rebounding in the direction that we want. Well, apparently not, because the subtitle is, but they haven't translated into stabilized valuations. So multifamily cap rates rebound, sparking fresh investor interest. Multifamily cap rates are returning to pre-pandemic levels, reigniting investor interest as property values stabilize and transaction activity picks up, I guess partially. A new report from American Landmark suggests the sector is poised for a moderate recovery driven by strong apartment demand and a steady rise in deals. American Landmark found that average cap rates and transaction volumes expanded in mid-2024 while interest rates remained elevated. Market cap rates reached 5.9% in the second quarter, up from 5.5 in quarter two of 2023. Despite some variation across locations and property quality, the study found that three-star properties average cap rates of 6.2%, while five-star ones averaged 5.3%. So we're not talking about very large adjustments, and I have a feeling that we're probably not going to see much more movement downward in the near future. Cap rate adjustments have yet to fully translate into stabilized valuations, with some properties still lagging in appraisals that reflect current market dynamics. The delay poses uncertainty for some investors, though others view it as an opportunity to acquire assets at favorable prices before valuations catch up. You know, this is a question and this is a topic that, you know, your mileage may vary is how I would explain it. I mean, again, when we talk about national averages, first of all, nobody's average. We've said that many times. Your scenario, your market, your submarket, your asset quality in terms of having market type amenities that allow market rates to be applied to your leases. There's a lot of variables going into that equation. And just because the national market has strong demand or it has a certain average cap rate, that should not be confused with what you're looking at if you're looking to acquire an apartment building. And I would also tell you the difference between the small apartment market, which is something we like, and I'm going to define small apartments as, I guess, globally less than 100 units, but really practically, I would suggest, you know, maybe 20 to 50 units makes for the best opportunities. But, you know, the market's different in those situations in many cases. And again, depends on location, depends on the quality of the asset. Many investors will pay you more for a higher quality location, as an example. Obviously, you'll get paid more if you're trying to sell your property if the rents are at or above what are thought of as a market average. But in any event, cap rate adjustments have yet to fully translate into stabilized valuations. I would agree with that on properties we've looked at. Of course, a lot of what we've looked at has a certain level of distress associated with it. So it may be a cloudy picture when you're trying to figure out value, or, you know, due to the current market dynamics. And the delay poses uncertainty for investors. I mean, unless you've got really deep pockets and you've got pretty clear vision of the future, when you're dealing with even a small apartment building, it may be, you know, $3 to $4 or $5 million acquisition, that potentially can swing big either way. And if you happen to buy the right one in the right location with the right dynamics, you may hit the grand slam. On the other hand, you may be underwater real quick if interest rates adjust again and rents, you know, go down or dip. So, you know, it's a question of quality. And if you're doing this on your own, you may want to reconsider. You need to have a lot of data, which typically means paying for it, and understand how to translate it correctly, which again probably means paying for it. This is what we do with our clients, is we try to help them understand in every situation what they're signing up for with regard to pro forma projections and other math issues. Let's see. I think what we'll do, let's go ahead and take our second break, and we'll return here momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show for Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to know.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and fake dreams. And there are many just like me.
With big dreams and fake dreams.
Final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I, you know, we've been talking about the deficit. I also mentioned what's anticipated in terms of an expansion of said deficit with some of Mr. Trump's tax changes. And I've got an article that came in, it came in earlier today that will explain some of the key commercial real estate provisions that we hope don't make the deficit worse. While we're always happy to take advantage of the tax rules for our clients when it comes to commercial real estate, multifamily predominantly is what we work with. We got to get a grip on this debt. And what I suggest is, if the debt or the tax changes create additional revenues, which they often do and have in the past with Mr. Trump specifically, let's set the dollars aside and actually use it to reduce the deficit. Let's not go spend twice as much as the increase we collect and thereby cause a worse problem. But anyway, I want to just make a mention, as you may know, if you listen to us on our Sunday show, we have a cyber version of the Be a Planner show. I have a cyber expert, Mr. AI Nguyen, and we've missed a couple of the past several weeks because he's been off last minute getting the call to go take care of a project or an issue. And so we're hopeful we'll be back this Sunday. And I think he's going to be calling in here momentarily to give us some idea of what our agenda might be. But anyway, I'll go ahead and start talking about this Trump tax assorted tax proposals. And again, none of this is law yet, but some of it is likely to be. Essentially, though, got a complex mix of implications, and the ones that affect commercial real estate are primarily extending, they focus around extending deadlines or making permanent some of the areas of the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. The 20% reduction for certain pass-through business income under Code Section 199A, which we refer to as the QBI, Qualifying Business Income Tax Deduction, is one of the big ones. And that was one that was probably going to sunset. But looks like now that Trump's been reelected, we may, if we can convince Congress to pass it, we should be good to keep that for a longer period. Generally applies to real estate investments, but you know, it's got limitations. You've got to have a cumulative positive income number, and it doesn't apply to capital gains. I mean, there's a number of hip checks you're going to get along the way. If you were Caitlin Clark, we'd call it a hip check, I guess. And so, it's not typically as lucrative for the passive investor, perhaps, and even active investors, unless you've got income. If you only had losses in a given transaction and you didn't turn it around with a big enough gain, of course, a tax gain is different than a book gain in the sense that you could have tax generated from simply claiming depreciation in prior years. So, you know, a lot of clients don't understand when they sell a property, maybe they buy it for 100, they sell it for 101, and in the meantime they claim $20,000 in depreciation, they've actually got a $21,000 gain. Tell you what, let's take just a short pause here. I've got Mr. AI Wynn on the line. Wynn, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Loud and clear. Thanks for taking a minute to call in. And I just explained on our coming back from the last break that, you know, we are continuing to do the cyber show on Sunday, the Be a Planner cyber show, and we've missed a couple weeks due to you being called into action on a weekend, which I guess hackers have no concern about what day of the week it is, right?
They have no timeline. They don't work on our timeline.
Yeah, that's true. Well, tell us a little bit about what you've got planned for this coming Sunday.
Well, this Sunday, we're still going to talk about the new malware that's been going on, and also to the artificial intelligence. There are a few products I want to talk about, you know, what AI can help us, and also, you know, there's a fine line, but we deep dive into it, but there's a couple things we talk about.
Good. You know, we need to put a page up with some of these devices that you've got, and you know, some of them are pretty interesting. I've actually purchased a couple of them, and I think others would too if they knew about them. And unfortunately, most of us don't track this this space like you do. But I know one you were telling me about. By the way, did my glasses, or let's see, is it glasses or what's the device? It's a Bluetooth device that you ordered for me.
So basically, this thing is a translator. So it's an earbud, and you put in your ear, and basically you can listen to all the conversation around you.
But it's up to 50 languages or something? How many languages does it cover?
Oh, it's about 170, it's about 72 languages.
Is it really? And yeah. Thai is one of them, correct?
Thai is one of them.
Yeah, I'm going to have some fun when I get back on the other side of the world with my Thai friends and family. I've warned my wife just so she doesn't unduly fall into any discussions that might prejudice our situation. I'm being facetious, but
last week I went to the nail salon and I basically listened to all the people talk bad about me. But fortunately, they all talk good about me, so I leave them alone.
So I take it it was a Vietnamese nail salon, or what was it?
It's a Vietnamese nail salon.
Yeah. Well, you don't really need the translation, but does it make the volume louder as well, I guess? So
you look at your phone, you hear them talking. So it's typing.
I see. So it throws it right to your phone. Wow. So, man, that's interesting.
Just one instant, they would say something, then I'm laughing. They say, "What, you laughing at us?" I'm laughing at your joke.
Well, yeah, I've had that happen in Thailand where maybe I reacted to something they said and they thought, oh, maybe he does. Because when somebody asks me if I speak Thai, I always say Nit Noi, which means little bit. So they really don't know. And then if they say something and I react, maybe I chuckle or something, they think, oh, maybe he does understand, you know. Yeah. Anyway, well, listen, Wynn, thanks for checking in with us. And we look forward to Sunday morning. The show airs at 7 a.m. Here on AM 700 KSEV, and we hope you can join us. And by the way, the prior versions, I'm pretty sure Amy's got them up on our website at the show on beaplanner.com or beaplannershow.com. You can get to the same repository. And had some interesting discussions about malware, phishing, all sorts of hacking issues, ransomware, and now AI. I think we could do a show on AI every week if we were just doing nothing more than
it's tracking. It's part of our life now.
Yeah, it really is. Well, Wynn, I'll catch up with you Sunday morning about 6:45, right?
You got it.
Okay.
I'll see you then.
Thanks for calling in. In any event, let's see, picking back up with the article I discussed, the qualified business income pass-through reduction. 20%. Another natural draw, quote unquote, is a proposal to reduce capital gains by 20%. Lessening the tax could be of great benefit to commercial real estate investors, opening additional profit by reducing the regulatory expense. However, Trump did not mention the capital gains as often as some of the others, like no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security, etc. But the reduction, one of the other things he did discuss a good bit was reducing the corporate income tax rate from 21% to 15% for manufacturing companies in the U.S. and 20% for all other corporations. That's going to be a challenge. It's much more complicated. You've got the tariff issue kind of is something that might offset some of that benefit, but setting up companies for more profitable manufacturing would certainly benefit the industrial CRE or commercial real estate space. And, you know, you think about the collateral arms of industrial would be warehousing, onshoring, things of this nature. But, you know, this is not going to happen overnight, folks. I'm sure most of you realize that. But if the Republicans can make inroads and people can see the benefits, you know, maybe it opens the door for a J.D. Vance or another Republican type to be reelected or to be elected in 2028. Making the estate tax reductions of the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act would be very attractive for the mass, the mass affluent would be how we would define it. And then the permanent status, making permanent the status of the individual income tax reductions that were in the 2017 Act with a top rate of 37%. Although, again, there's concerns that some of these provisions would tend to be inflationary. The big one, though, that had a lot of talk, and it's not necessarily a for sure thing at all, is the $10,000 SALT tax or SALT limitation. That's the state and local tax deduction. And, you know, we did away with that, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, California would be thrilled. And it could prove to be a significant negotiating point with Congress to say that, hey, we'll throw that in or part of that in with getting some of the stuff that Trump wants. In any event, I believe we're getting close here to the end of the show. Thank you for joining in. We hope you will listen in on Sunday for our cybersecurity show. And if not, we'll see you next Friday, 11 a.m., right here on AM 700 KSEV, The Voice of Texas. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.